Corey, if you can put your drink down for 1 second, I want to tell everybody that this episode of Chicago's Bravest Stories is brought to you by Chicagoland 1-800-BOARDUP.
Chicagoland 1-800-BOARDUP. Two questions are likely to be asked in rapid succession when a building is damaged by a storm, flood, or other natural disasters. How bad is the damage, and how can I secure the building?
Well, there's actually three questions. Is the beer cold?
Is the beer cold? And... how can we provide this beer to the victim?
How do we keep
with proper assistance? You guys have seen the logo out there. You guys know. I mean, what's everyone's seen this Dalmatian, right?
Wearing the red helmet. Yep. Chicagoland 1-800-BOARDUP.
And the reason you guys have seen that is because they're out there and they're helping us out every day. They spent 10 years supporting the fire department. And again, you guys know their name. You guys have seen their logo. And that's because you know they're doing right by victims out there.
Yep, their victim assistance program, which takes somebody whose house has been damaged by fire or wind or water. They'll take them from the initial damage to the restoration to moving them back into their residence. This is a program that's not just a board up service. Chicagoland 1-800-BOARDUP is more than just a board up company with their victim assistance and over 10 years of supporting the fire service.
Recording.
You got the perfect nose for boxing.
I'm recording.
I can hear it from. Break.
Okay. It's working.
His only redeeming quality.
This thing is straight as a fucking arrow.
Probably catches. That nose is like a bat catcher's mitt. Catches everything with that.
You know, I don't know if you guys kind of get this, but like I've got a face that people want to punch. I don't know what it is.
That's awesome. You should have Battle of the Corey.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Just have everybody go in there and just start
everybody
punching
just take their turn on me. Fuck it.
You may raise too much money with that one.
Dude, I got so...
It would be a tax issue.
Yeah, right. Fucking, I have to open up my own 501c.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well,
we're back.
This record.
We're back. Oh, Al's record?
Al's record.
13-2, as far as I was told.
What does it say on there?
There's some discrepancies.
Where'd you go to Box Rec?
Yeah, Box Rec. You're on Box Rec here. So I was going to actually ask you about a couple of these.
Yeah, let me see if I can pull it up as well so I can see what you're looking at.
Here, you want to take a look at this?
There's some things that are inconsistent with, you know.
I was just messing around.
No, somebody told me the other day, hey, you won the Silver Gloves.
It's like Wikipedia. You can put in
correct.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Correct. So they were like, hey, you won the Silver Gloves in 125 pounds. I go, yeah, you know what? I probably did it at 125 pounds. I said, but it wasn't in 1988. I was 18 years old. You're not even, I wasn't even old enough to fight in a silver glove. So that just goes to show you how not all of it is accurate. You know what I mean?
Well, Al, since we're back to boxing, can you run us through the weight classes that will be at Battle of the Badges?
Oh yeah.
So who's the lightest fighter? And it's open to anybody, any active member on the fire department. So you could have a guy from logistics, you could have a medic, you could have a firefighter, you could have an exempt rank, right? You could have anybody as long as they're an active member.
But I had somebody.
You got to find them a fight, and my understanding is that's the hardest thing for you is to find these guys fights, because you have to find somebody in that weight class, right? Who's willing to box? What other things do you need to match these guys up?
Well, the way we've historically matched fighters, it's a lot different than a real boxing tournament, because this is, you know, a fundraiser and kind of a we titled it as a boxing exhibition. to raise funds for first responders and their families, right?
Yeah.
So we give a lot more leeway than, you know, per se for an amateur boxing show like the Golden Gloves or the Park Districts or anything.
Sure.
So what we've always done historically is we've done like 5 years up, 5 years down, 5 pounds up, 5 pounds down. So Corey is a heavyweight, so... No offense, Corey.
Vince called me super heavy.
Well, I think I'm a super heavy. I'm over 200.
Right. So
is that technically over 200 super heavyweight?
So in the amateurs, they had super heavyweight division, but like in the professionals, 201 and above is a heavyweight. So you could be Tyson Fury at 300 pounds and then fight a guy who's 220. There's no in a heavyweight division. There's no that's just the nature of the beast. But if you're a middleweight, you're fighting 160. You and I have to weigh in at 160. But for the Battle of the Badges, we give 5 up, 5 down. So, you know, if you're 160, I'm 165, and we're close in age and experience, we make a match. You know what I mean? We try to make a match. So we're not that strict like the real amateur bouts are.
You're trying to get it as fair as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, in the past.
And it has to be agreed on by the fighter.
But
the fighter has the ultimate agreement.
Absolutely. And, both coaches too. So the police boxing team and the fire department boxing team, we sit down and we say, "Hey, this is a good match, you know, for Vince versus Corey, for example."
Yeah.
And
I'd mop the floor with them.
Yeah.
Al.
Well,
that should be your opening fucking line right there.
I'm going to do that. He's mopping the floor with them.
Yeah, right.
He's
got a face for radio, definitely.
So. Oh, dude. Fucking.
That's why he's podcast gold right here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you hit it.
So, yeah, we've, you know, in the past, there was some, you know.
Little bit of variances.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Where 1 year they put a former pro fighter in there. This is early on.
Well, that's why I was asking that question earlier. Yeah, what's the criteria?
Yeah, like, right.
Do you have you ever looked at a guy and be like, let me see the roster or let me see his employment record?
Right. Not employment record, but... Really, when it comes to matching the fights, we just want to make sure that the guy is not an open fighter and we're putting up against a guy who's green, who's never boxed before.
I'm telling you, in that New York, there was a couple guys where I'm like, this guy's a fucking ringer. Fighter.
Yeah, right.
The guy was a dispatcher he actually lost.
Yeah.
But he was like...
New York didn't start off very well. I know that for a fact because my wife was watching and the other coach was watching while I was wrapping Nick's hands and stuff. And he comes back and he goes, man... FDNY lost their first four bouts. They haven't won a fight yet, you know.
Ooh.
But then later on, as the show progressed, they got some wins at the end. So.
Yeah, they had a couple EMTs. They had this dispatcher. This guy had to be 6'3", just jacked.
Really?
Oh, and then I'm like, this.
He wasn't in the FDN side. We were with we were in the same locker room with FDNY. So then NYPD and all the. Other police officers from Atlanta or whatever, they were in the other room, like in another dressing room. So I didn't get to see those guys, you know.
Yeah.
The other weird thing is what we do in our show, and I think is great, and I know I've seen past shows with them. Their former events or, you know, the event they had last year, they kind of mirror us a bit, but they didn't do that this year. But because this is our first international show.
Yeah.
Where they brought these people in. And that was because NYPD pulled out 6 weeks before the bout. But they pulled off the show anyways. It was great. They filled the arena, as you can see.
It looked packed.
But we normally, you know, have our honor guard walk us in, you know, our both pipes and drums for both sides, you know, walk us in. Both teams walk into the ring and that's awesome. The whole opening ceremony is great. And then
gets in the nice mic.
Yeah, it gets you going, and then the fights begin, which is wonderful. For New York, they just had FDNY walk in the ring, and they didn't have anybody else walk in the ring, which I thought was, hey, you know, they should have had us in there too. But the big goal for us, and not to stray away from the police department that we're gonna fight. On the 19th, is that we're inviting FDNY to come fight with Chicago Fire Department here. So in the future,
in its own match.
Yeah, it's own match, right?
CFD versus
FDNY. Yeah, right. So apparently, I was hoping that it could be
Chicago Police and Chicago Fire versus New York Fire and New York Police. But I think with NYPD pulling out 6 weeks prior to the show last week, they might not be wanting to come with us. So it might just be fire, fire show. So that's something to look forward to. And also to raise some more funds for our charities as well. So
for sure. Can we be ringside for that one too?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because
wait a minute. It depends on how you guys do on this one. So. This is the interview, right?
Well, I just thought of my new tagline when somebody really lands a bomb.
Yeah.
He's been licked by the dragon.
Wow.
Jeez.
What? Why are you giving me that look?
That's cheesy.
You know what
you have to listen to prior podcasts.
All right.
That one, okay. That one has some history behind it.
I got you. There's an inside story to that. Inside.
There'd be two people in that stadium being like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
I was hoping you like took on this like 1920s persona, you know, like they're talking about bread baskets out there and fucking.
No,
like,
I think this is going to be more like in Dodgeball with Cotton on the Ocho. Sure. That's how I envision this going.
I mean, that would be wild though. If that's something that you guys are looking at one day, I was like actually getting this thing on,
Whatever.
Getting it on the Ocho.
So watch them. Yeah.
Oh, no. You know what? We tried a few years ago. I mean, Steve O'Malley had the equipment, and we were streaming it to the firehouses, you know, for those that were on shift.
Yeah.
Somebody bumped into the thing, and it knocked it out.
And then all of a sudden,
nobody was able to stream it. So
if whoever knocked that thing over could reach us on our social media, let us know if that was you, fess up, and we'll send you out a t-shirt.
If we could get
we just want to know who that person was.
Yeah.
So if you knocked over the streaming equipment at the last Battle of the Badges, let us know, and we'll send you out a t-shirt.
Who are can you talk about any of these matchups yet? Or
let us know, because people want to hear these names.
Well, that's the thing.
Because it'd be like, oh, that's my guy. That guy's from my firehouse.
Nothing's concrete until the weigh-ins. We have preliminary weigh-ins April 3rd and 4th at the Police Academy on Jackson. And then the final weigh-ins is the week of the fight, 15 and 16.
Okay.
Who are your preliminary fighters right now?
I'm sorry?
Give us your preliminary fighters right now and walk us through those weight classes.
I can tell you what, you know.
What's the lightest weight class you have?
What we're thinking about. What do you call that? The lightest weights that we have are 165 pounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we don't have anything lighter than that. Now, the police officers have.
Again, these are firemen.
Of course.
Yeah, right.
Okay, these are firemen. If that doesn't say something about
that and paramedics, right? We have no lightweights at 135 pounds. The police do.
That's your lightweight, 135. Even with the girls?
Yeah, right.
Because you could fill that with a girl's fight,
right? So both our girls are 165 pounds, 170 pounds.
Just packed with muscle.
So, yeah,
just
to say,
muscle. I didn't even know you had girls fighting this one.
Well, they got to carry patients up and down the stairs, right? They got it on them.
Toughest women in Chicago.
Yeah,
in
they're, Chicago they're tough. So.
Okay, so who do you got fighting at 165, potentially?
So just so that you know, we have, which is wonderful, we have a total of almost 60 people. That have come out
to draw off of.
Yeah, to draw off of. So the police department boxing team, they have 30 guys in their gym, maybe 35, and we have the same thing, right around 30, 35 people. Some more consistent than others. And, you know, obviously it comes down to the day of the weight. Historically, you got guys saying, oh, yeah, I'm 190 pounds. You know, I'll be 190 pounds. Then I got this guy matched with Corey, 190 pounds.
Yeah.
The weigh-in comes in, he's 220. You know, or 215.
He's like, well, five I wanted to be
190, right? I wanted to be 190, but I haven't been able to lose any weight. Well,
I identify as a 190 person.
right. So that's why it's all preliminary, you know, always subject to change.
Oh, you don't?
Well,
you'd want to give it. All right. Well, why don't we do this? Just acknowledge the boxers who have like put in the work and have been training hard, whether they have a fight or not.
I can't speak for all of them, but even the ones that are that came in to the gym and
give us your consistent hard work. Give us your top guys.
Right. So there's guys that are working in the gym that look great. Some guys, and this is historically too. I've always said that when I was coaching a fire department boxing team at Portage Park and at Oakley Fight Club where we're at.
Yeah.
I've always said, hey, come on out. Learn another sport, the sweet science of boxing. We might not be able to match you, you know, but you'll learn something. You'll get in shape, yeah. you know, and learn another art. You know, we'll see, you know, I can't promise you, but, you know, come on out. And historically, people have come in and really put the time in.
Yeah.
They've dropped 30 pounds, you know, and there's guys in the gym right now that I go back in and I look and I'm like, hey, dude, you know, and he's like, man, I've lost 30 pounds. There's a guy in the gym who has, you know, just because he's putting the time in, you know. Right. So, but, you know, our big guys are what I call our go-to guys, like Nick Mertens, for example.
Yeah.
He's 165 pounds. He just fought in New York, you know. We have a super heavy or heavyweight, Kendall Russell out of Engine 57 is a strong kid.
So super heavyweight is anything over two?
Yeah, heavyweight over 201 is a heavyweight division. So he's 230 pounds. He's a strong kid. The police officers have a guy, Abel Villalobos, who's about 225 pounds as well. So that's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah,
that's a potential matchup that we have right now. And I can talk about it because it's a heavyweight division. So there really is there's no weight. You know what I mean? So I'm not holding anybody to the weight. Right. But that's our bigs. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to give the weight classes. You can just acknowledge who your boxers are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's
right. They're going to blush.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what a lot of people listen to the podcast and they want to hear, guy's at my firehouse.
Right, correct.
So, I love the idea of guys in the firehouse kind of giving this guy shit when he reaches for a second taco, you know, like, oh,
you're going to make weight?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you'll see some guys, you know, they change their diets, obviously, if they're matched. But here, let's talk about the girls.
Yeah.
I got two girls fighting that night, potentially, of course. Well, I got two fire girls. They got two police girls, right? Yeah. The two fire girls, since we're talking fire department team, Elizabeth Boyle, she's looking outstanding in the gym.
Is she new?
I don't know how long she's been on the job, but they're both paramedics on the ammo. I believe the next
you were going to say Daisy Fuentes, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Daisy Narvaez, she's at Engine 99's quarters with Ambulance 67.
Yeah.
But I don't know where Elizabeth Fuentes is at the moment.
I would love to see Daisy Fuentes boxing.
Yeah, me too.
She still looks good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of her recently. I'm like, Daisy Fuentes,
do you remember her? Right.
Oh, I was like, MTV? Wow,
isn't that something?
Are you kidding me?
Right.
I can't forget her, Al.
forget her. It's like the word Daisy, the next thing that comes to your mind is Fuentes, right?
That's automatic,
So, but those two girls, they've been working hard in the gym. And,
they've been around for a little bit? Or
Betsy not boxing this year?
Betsy is working with us on the board directors for the Battle of the Badges. You know, Betsy fought like five times.
Yeah.
So she's taking a step back from that. She still works out occasionally with the team, but she's a board member and helping us raise money and stuff like that at the moment.
Good.
So we got Aaron Sniff.
That's my guy.
Your guy. They got a tank apparently to fight him. So.
Well, they know him now.
Yeah, they know him now, and you know, it'll be
that fight. He knocked the guy down. The guy gets back up. The ref stands him up. He comes right back out, and then he knocks him down again, and then they called it.
Right.
I mean, he hit him hard.
Yeah, he's a heavy-handed kid. There's no doubt about it. So.
Well, he's got a fighting background. He's just a tough kid.
Yeah. So, but some newcomers to the gym who have been working really hard is Cesar Guzman.
Okay.
He's a fireman at Engine 99. I think he just transferred out to Truck 58. But kid works really hard. He's been... and the COVID year as well. They were these guys were in the COVID year when we pulled out, and then last year as well, 23, when they were working out as well for that. So they've come back and they're working hard as ever. So we also have a new guy, Chris Costosos. He's from Truck 58, strong kid. He's at the gym.
He hasn't been on that long. I remember him down at the academy.
I think he's. He's got a year on the job.
He just got on. You know. He does a lot of this media stuff. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
He started with a media background.
No kidding.
So don't let him hold out on you. If you need something.
Right.
He's your guy.
Thanks for telling
me. I'll out him. No problem.
You just put him out there.
Nice kid, though.
Yeah. So also, we got Jose Perez. He's a crossover medic as well.
Yeah.
He's a strong guy. And, I mean, we're looking really good. We got about 12 matches matched up right now.
Yeah.
And I think we're looking pretty good. I know they got some strong kids on their side. The problem is the police department boxing team has a lot more experienced guys than we do. So we have a lot of no fights, first time people coming to fight. And then we have very few, in the 30 that have experience.
How many fights total do you think you're going to have on April 19th at De La Salle?
Right now we have 12 potential bouts.
Okay.
If one falls out, we have 11. We'll work out well. I normally don't like to have an even number. I like to have an odd number so that the trophy's going home with a team.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you something to fight for, right?
Yeah. You can't have a draw.
We don't want a draw. We have had those in the past. And
you know how you settle that at the end if it's you have the coaches going.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we can do that. we have the trophies. We presently have the trophy at the Chicago headquarters for the fire department.
Yeah.
So, because we've won it the last several years. But since 2002, there's stamps on there that say a draw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, so we can't have that.
You know, 2006, a draw.
You can't. Yeah. You got to have the bragging rights.
Yeah, and that's why I like to have an odd number of fights so that someone is going to take the win. It's not going to be a draw. So, but
what is the overall record for Battle of the Badges historically?
You know, I knew you were going to ask that question, and I was trying to get the answer because
is that what you were doing this whole time?
No. I was going to call down to the fire to headquarters rather
and have somebody look at the belt.
Yeah, look at the trophy. Yeah. We got four sides of it, and we got plaques on every year.
Welcome back to Chicago's Bravest Stories, brought to you by the Frontline Mortgage Team. This episode, we're going to see if Joey Matthews answers his phone.
Well, he sees it's me that's calling, so maybe he doesn't want to deal with my stuff right now.
This episode called, Will Joey Matthews Answer Josh Hill's Phone Call?
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available. At the tone, please record your message.
Should when I try calling him down?
Recording,
he'll answer, he'll answer if it's you. Hey, boss, it's Josh. Just wanted to see if you wanted to talk on the pod here, do a promo.
Yeah, we're recording. This is another segment of Joey Matthews' voicemail.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the Frontline Mortgage Team.
Now you're going to have to check this voicemail, and I know you don't want to.
This episode of Joey Matthews' voicemail brought to you by the Frontline Mortgage Team.
And you could count them all out. But I know from the last time I seen it, the Chicago Fire Department has just barely, we're probably inched two up on them.
Oh, really?
You know, because if I recall, like 2018 or 2019, it was split even.
Yeah.
You know, and then we won the last two, so we're just above. Because there's a bunch of draws in there as well. There might be four draws in there. So.
Okay.
But we've had it in our trophy case.
Yeah.
At the Quinn Fire Academy, and now it's over at headquarters. I think we've had that trophy a lot longer than the police has had it.
Well, it's. I think it's better at headquarters because the police have to walk by it all the time.
Yeah, right. I don't even know if they got it in a place where they can see it. It's by the commissioner's office in a trophy case. So
you
got
to put it right downstairs.
They should put it right out front.
Right,
you know,
downstairs.
I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You got to walk past it every day.
Yeah, cops aren't angry enough as it is. They don't have anything to their work.
Well, Al, do you follow any? Are you just a boxing guy, or do you like follow UFC and MMA?
Yeah, you know, I'm just a boxing guy.
Yeah,
I do. You know, peek in every now and then when there's a big, what a big draw for a big name show. You know, and the guys at the firehouse are watching it and stuff like that. It's a brutal sport. I'm surprised nobody. You know, unfortunately, with boxing, we've had deaths in the ring. You know, and it's since the beginning of MMA, I've always thought to myself, it's a miracle that nobody has died in this thing.
Yeah.
Because I've seen these guys get knocked out and they're unconscious. And this guy gets off his 2 feet, comes on with an elbow across the face.
The finisher, yeah.
The finisher. Yeah. And you think, I'm like, holy cow. You know, the referee can't get there in time.
Is this a sanction?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, wow, I can't believe nobody's, you know. But I don't know if it's because boxing, you know, opposed to MMA, is focused on the head. You know, the scoring is cut your arms off, so down your shoulders to your waist. It's all scoreable and your head. Where MMA, you're kicking, you're putting it. Thumb and submission and stuff like that. So there's a variety of things.
I think that in boxing, you're going to sustain more repeatable hits.
To the head.
You can't take those hits
forever.
In MMA, right. you can only take a few of those before you're absolutely knocked out.
Right, right, right.
But in boxing, you just keep sustaining those hits and you can still stay on your feet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Your brain is just bouncing around in there.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, I mean, like I said before, it's a fine line between pleasure and pain. But,
But could you imagine being a boxer and now you go into the octagon and you're going to box and then somebody's going to kick you in the head and then do jiu-jitsu on you and then choke you unconscious?
Yeah, well, I've always been a firm believer when I get this question all the time. You put a boxer in an MMA ring, he's going to lose.
Right.
Which we saw in UFC 1. Remember the one boxer who came in with just one boxing glove on?
No, I don't even.
You don't remember that?
No, really, with one boxing glove.
He came in. If you go back to UFC 1, he comes in. I can't remember. I think his first fight was with Gracie.
Really?
And he puts one boxing glove on, and you know, at the time, like, you know, this was the 80s.
Yeah, right.
We're like, all right, he's got to have a plan, but nobody knew about jiu-jitsu at that at that time.
Correct.
That's what the whole thing was to showcase jiu-jitsu. And he comes out with the boxing gloves, and he's going to sleep like 2 minutes later.
Yeah, right.
Like, what were you going to do with this?
Well, I think initially they didn't know what they were getting themselves into until Gracie showed the jiu-jitsu, and then it kind of evolved into the thing. Because I recall the MMA fighters, the MMA show at first when they first came out, the UFC. You know, they would give this whole big hoopla.
Yeah,
Vince, he's a black belt in this. You know, brown belt and that. He's got this title. He's a karate this. He's taekwondo. He's that. And then they say the same thing about this guy's art on the other end.
Yeah.
The bell would ring, and next thing you know, they're on the ground.
They're just fighting.
And the guy's putting you in a hold.
Yeah.
You know, there's where Gracie
What was shined. Cool about it was that you had, like, a sumo wrestler going against a karate
Bunch
guy.
Of different arts.
Yeah. And that's what really solidified, like...
Now it's created a whole different thing. Now it's an actual style of fighting and that wasn't really, I don't think they thought it. They were bringing different arts together.
They've got equipment now.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Again, like back when UFC started, it was like,
right.
These training gloves are good, you know?
You know, I think they took it off of like the Kumite, remember?
Yeah.
Where they brought these different styles in.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's a karate guy, here's a taekwondo guy, here's a judo guy, here's a boxer, here's a Thai boxer.
Did you ever see the actual guy that movie was based upon, the Frank Dukes? That was an actual guy.
Yeah.
And
I recall vaguely.
I didn't realize that was an actual guy and that the Kumite was an actual thing.
Yeah.
But it was. And talking to this Frank Dukes, it was like, that was brutal.
Yeah. Underground, too.
Yeah, it was an underground thing. Actual fight. And it was like basically just what that movie was about.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Al, tell me about your, I think I got you lubed up enough here. To so what was the most brutal fight that you've been in yourself, pro or amateur, whatever? Like,
You know, I would say I learned a lot, and I you know, we had the guy up here a minute ago. I'm trying to think of his name. I had a guy that I fought with at, I fought an 8-round fight with, and this is the funniest. I'm sorry.
Was it pro?
Fight? Yeah, it was a pro. The pro.
Now, how long were the rounds?
Well,
in that era.
When you fight as a pro, your first professional fights are 4-round bouts.
Okay.
And then they normally go up to 6, and then they go 8.
But for how many minutes?
They're all 3-minute rounds.
They're all 3-minute rounds? Okay.
Yeah, and then there's a couple names that you hear.
There's our 10-minute rounds.
Charles Howe, Kevin Miller, Larry Fleming, Warren Tyson, Art Richardson. None of these guys, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Richardson.
Aren't right. You know what I mean?
Are you going to give people your own nicknames?
Oh, yeah. I'm making it up on the fly.
Oh, yeah. Do it.
So,
I like it.
So this guy here, Larry Fleming, that I fought at Mario's Ballroom.
Was that guy?
It's a different name, the ballroom, but it's on Kedzie. Yeah,
the Brawl Room.
By 109's house, just south of 26th Street. it's still some sort of banquet or disco, you know,
yeah,
place. But they put a ring in there, and I fought. Now. And this guy, the subtle things that a lot of people don't see outside of the ring. He hit me just gently. We were coming together on a clinch, and with his thumb, he just hit me in a solar plex.
Oof.
Oh.
As I was inhaling. And it just took the wind out of if anybody's ever gotten hit in a liver or in a solar plex, especially in a boxing match or any kind of fight, you can't breathe in. You can't breathe out. Yep. You feel like you got to take a shit. You feel like you got to piss. You don't know if you want to puke. You know, it's like your organs are going.
Just everything's like, all right.
Your organs are like, what the fuck was that? Right. You know what I mean?
Well, so, it's like your head is in a paper bag. Like you can't breathe. Like
right.
You
oh, really, yeah. It's so panic. Basically, it's I had to hold my breath and hold the pain as I'm moving around.
During the fight.
Trying to play possum and act like nothing's wrong.
Is this right out of the gates in round one, or
no? This is like
kind of deep into it.
Let me see. What did they say we did here? It doesn't even say the rounds, no. But I believe this was an 8-round fight, and this happened like in the. I was winning a fight, but it was a subtle move that he did. That as we were coming together in a clinch, he just boom.
And it wasn't even a punch. That was on purpose.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He was a crafty guy. I remember he said that that I was going places. He had just come from a training camp with another world title fighter he was sparring for. And he was like, kid's good. I remember I hit him. He fell out the ring. I knocked him down. He fell out the ring. He had to get back in the ring before the 8 count was, the 10 count was out.
But is that why he's called Larry the Flying Dutchman?
Fleming? Yeah, right. But yeah, those fights like this. That were,
I was gonna say,
I'm going to be good.
That was probably one of the toughest fights I had there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that just kind of set the tone for the remainder of the fight.
Well, it's funny because the fight prior to
that's not one of your losses, is it?
Nope.
No, that was a unanimous decision. But the fight prior to that, I was I remember I was on ambulance 28.
Okay.
So for this fight, but here I'll give
guess
you a quick
when the fight before this was.
I'll give you a story before
guess how long before it was.
The day?
1 month.
Oh.
According to this.
Yeah.
1 month before is when they had
it. So yes. He was on the Greektown Express.
Correct. I'll fight. That's the old man will fight every month if you let me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So especially this is what you call a club fighter. It's what I was. You're just.
Were you considered a club fighter?
Yeah. Basically, when you're starting off.
Yeah.
And then you build a record up, and then you move into the next, you know, where you're going into, you know, so I got to the Midwest, you know, where I'm traveling to Iowa, I'm traveling to St. Louis to fight, going to Detroit to fight, you know, that kind of thing. But then the big show obviously is on national television.
Yeah.
Like if you remember or recall back in the day, USA Boxing was on, you know, the USA Network.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday night I think it was Tuesday Night Fights. When you got to that level, you're like, hey, you know, I was just about to break that level when that occurred, my hand injury and for the state title. So I never got out of that to there, but I was almost there.
Which honestly, like not a unique story from around this neighborhood. Like a lot of guys would end up getting, just because of the time that it would take for these guys to make it into. But just for the amount of time these guys would have to put in, fighting, like a lot of these guys were coming in injured. Like you weren't getting a lot of life, like 21-year-old guys going pro. You know, were you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, really? there's where most of the guys are. You know, I was 20, 22 or something like that when I turned pro. So I mean, you're fighting the amateur ranks. You know, as a fighter, and your goal is. In the amateur mindset, your goal is the Olympics. I mean, at least that's what my goal was, you know. So we're trying to win a qualifying tournament like the Golden Gloves is, and there's other ones around the country that is what they call qualifying. So you qualify, and then you go and you represent the state of Illinois. And then, you know, you're fighting in a box off or in kind of Olympic trials to see where you're at, and you go through that.
But you couldn't go pro first, because if you went you can't go to the Olympics.
No, right.
So it had to be, the Olympics was the apex of your amateur boxing career.
That's where most people are wanting to get to.
Right.
And if they don't get to there, they'll go pro, or some, like Roy Jones Jr.,
right,
for example, went, won a medal, then became pro. Oscar De La Hoya won a medal, then went pro. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, to your question, what was it? I was telling you about the fight.
Oh, yeah.
So, I traded a day off, and I said, I was at Ambulance 45. A lot of the firemen went to go see me there. It was in the Harvey or the Dalton Expo Center. It was a boxing match there. That's where the fight was at. It was by Ernie Terrell, Ernie Terrell Productions. Ernie Terrell was a boxer, professional boxer out of Chicago, who fought Muhammad Ali at Soldiers Field.
Was this Kevin Miller? This is the guy you fought?
I don't.
Is that a different guy?
Yeah, this is not in the correct order, or names aren't, rather. So my second fight was not Anthony Ivory, which is the second fight from the top here.
Oh, no. Go down.
Anthony, the Ivory Tower.
Yeah. So.
Gary Riley. So it looks like it's your second fight.
Right. So some of the names are incorrect, or.
Sure.
The dates are incorrect, but.
Okay, here you go. Donnie Pendleton is the guy you fought. So it's at the Expo Center.
Well, Donnie Pendleton fight was was a tough fight.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think that was a 6 or 8 round fight as well. I won a unanimous decision, but he had just come from Europe, and he was at a training camp for a European fighter that he was a sparring partner.
Okay.
So he was at the top of his game when he came. It was a tough fight.
Yeah.
And, but going back to the story, before fighting Larry Fleming, I was on the ambo at the time, and I said, well, I'm fighting Friday night and I work Saturday. I'm going to trade the day off, right? So I'm at the Dalton Expo Center. One of the guys from Truck 7 goes to get beer for the guys. I knocked the guy out in the first round. He never seen the fight, because he's like, what the fuck happened, you know? So it was like a minute and a half in the first round, I knocked this guy out. So I'm like, the next month, my dad's got me scheduled to fight, another fight. And I'm like, do I trade the day off? Fuck.
Right, you only put in a minute worth of work.
Yeah, I go, I'm not trading the day off. I'll just come into work, you know?
Yeah.
And I fought this guy. Were you one
on, three off at that point? Or were you still on the fire schedule?
No, one on, three off at the time. So going back, we're the reason, our class was the reason they were preparing for the third platoon.
Okay.
So we first came out, we had 17-day furloughs.
Yeah.
And it was one on, two off. And then a couple months went by, and they took our furloughs away, gave us 3 work days.
Right.
And went to the 72 hours off. So so that was the reason, I guess, they hired. Our class was 45 medics. So I think they did it for that manpower.
Yeah, they needed the manpower to make the fourth platoon.
Correct. Yeah. So anywho, going back to this, I go, I'm not gonna trade the day off. Fuck! I knocked this guy out in a minute and a half. Who do I fight? This Larry Fleming for 8 fucking rounds. And the next day, I go to Engine 5. I'm detailed to Ambulance 28. I walk in, all the firemen are looking at me like, "What the fuck's wrong with this guy?" I mean, I'm black and blue. You know, my ears are black and blue from the punch in. I got abrasions on the side. I got a black eye. You know, it looked like I've been tuned up. I mean, I fought 8 rounds.
Right.
You were, in fact, tuned up.
Yeah, I was tuned up, absolutely. My ribs hurt, you know. I'm like, it wasn't as easy as the fight prior, you know.
You see the other guy.
Yeah, well, they're all kind of looking. I don't realize that they're looking at all the scars or all the bruises. The bruising in my face, you know. But I could kind of see their looks like, what the fuck? What's up with this fucker? He must have been in a brawl, at a barroom brawl.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know, about 9:30 in the morning, one of the assistant coaches that helped my dad out comes in with a VHS tape, you know, and I was on an ambo call. So I come back, and they're all around the TV watching the thing.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? And he goes, no wonder you look that way. You go, fuck. You know, they're like, man, you're a bad motherfucker. This is a great fight.
Of course, it's your
know?
Loss, too, right?
No, like, I won. I won.
Did you win? Oh,
I won the fight.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't easy. That's what I was telling you. It was one of the tougher fights that I had.
With Larry, the Flying Dutchman Fleming.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
It was a tough fight. So, I mean, I was bruised up. My ribs were bruised up. Yeah. You know, I thought it was going to be a walkover.
How many years on did you have it? Well, here.
Well, yeah.
We're still on the AMBO.
Yeah, right. So, that's what I'm saying. This says I fought in. Up.
This says you fought in 93.
Right, no. So, this is like a 96 or 97 fight.
No shit.
So I was like a year or two on the job at the time. God.
Well, what I'm going to do, Al, is when I put together the videos with you talking about these fights, do you have video? Is it somewhere of some of your fights that I can splice in here?
I do have some videos. I have to work on getting on them on something that they can see.
Okay.
Because they're on VHSs.
Beta Ray.
Okay.
You know,
because I want to splice those into.
That'd be great.
As you're talking, they're going to be watching little clips of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so yeah, that'd be great.
If you can get those to me.
That'd be cool.
So before we forget, because we've already started drinking, give everybody information. Can you buy tickets ahead of time? Like, give them the information. Because this is April 19th.
This is what's
at
this
De La Salle.
Yeah, this is what's happening. It seems like we get a we're doing all the ticket sales online through TicketSpice.
All you can't even buy tickets at the door?
We're hoping not to.
Okay.
But if the ticket sales, if we don't meet the ticket sales that were our target number, then they could purchase them at the door. We prefer everybody to have them, obviously, before they walk in.
Right.
I know there's going to be some people that...
most of the people are going to show up on their phones and they're going
like
to scan
you,
it.
Just
right?
like you show up to the Cubs game or a Sox game or a Bears game.
Okay.
Nobody really is taking any cash anymore, you know. So we're transitioning to that as well.
Oh, same for guys like buying stuff at the place, like
yeah. So like on the poster, I should have brought you when I got one in the car. There's a QR code on there, and it says tickets available online, and I think it says only online, to be honest with you. But at the present time, we probably only have about 700 tickets sold online.
Okay.
So we're looking for 2,700. That's what we've had in the past. So,
So again, if you guys go to ChicagoBattleOfTheBadges.org, you'll be able to pull this up.
And there's a red button on there that says purchase tickets.
How much are tickets?
They're $25, and then there's a handling fee or whatever through the ticket spice. So it comes out to like $26.57 or something like that. But
you want us to give out tickets to listeners when your podcast comes out?
Yeah, why not?
You want to give a handful of tickets?
Yeah, so we'll figure something out. That'd be cool.
Yeah,
we would definitely, if you get the QR code, go on the website or on the poster, you could hit the QR code. Okay. It goes to take you right to Ticket Spice, and you could purchase as many tickets as you want on there.
This episode of Chicago's Bravest Stories is brought to you by Sports and Ortho. If you're a city employee and you get hurt, you have the option to request Sports and Ortho when you're being assigned some physical therapy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We can always choose us. We're on the city plan, so if you want to come to us, we are happy to see you.
Yeah, you're not locked into whoever they send you to. You can always make a request to go to a better facility if you'd like. And Sports and Ortho is a good alternative.
We think so.
Obviously, we'd love for everybody to purchase tickets before they show up, but if we do sell them at the door, you could scan the QR code there. Now, if you were to buy a block of tickets, let's say 10, you could email them, text them, or print them out once you purchase them. So
get your firehouse together.
Absolutely.
Get your crew together, you know.
Come support these guys that are on this
You firehouse. 100% will see somebody you know boxing, without and you 100% know somebody at this event.
Yeah, right.
you will.
Yeah, that you came on with.
Yeah.
You know, probably one of your classmates that you haven't seen in many years.
What time is the event? 7?
Doors open at 6.
Okay.
Opening ceremony will start at 7. And right after that, 7:30, 8 o'clock, we'll start the boxing matches.
April 19th, De La Salle Institute. High School, right?
Yeah, De La Salle Institute is their title.
Like 35th and Michigan.
Yeah, it's actual 34, address.
34 South Wabash.
Correct. Okay. Now, the address of the school is actually 3434 South Michigan, but the doors will be closed on that side.
Right.
But 3434 Wabash on a GPS will take you right into the parking lot, which is the entrance of the gymnasium.
Yeah, you can't miss where you go in.
Yeah.
There's only really one spot
Can
go. You go through that little gangway.
And I would recommend if you do, get there early, because a lot of people like to get there early and, you know,
do what people do when they show up early.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do what they do.
April 19th, ceremonies at 7, De La Salle. it's an amazing event, and we're going to be supporting these charities. Here's the thing too, just like everything else we do, if you can't make it, buy a ticket. It's going to go to a good cause.
Right.
And, just support the charities. That's what it's all about.
Right, right.
You're literally supporting people that support you.
Right. Yeah, if some guy is willing to, have the nuts enough to go out there and get punched in the face for charity, right. What's 20 bucks? Yeah.
As well, you could, you could purchase a t-shirt.
I was just going to say, yeah.
There's a police logo and there's a fire logo, so you can pick the team you want to support. If you're not going to be able to make it, it's a $25 donation. We'll send you a t-shirt. And at least you'll donate that way, support us in that manner. As we get closer to the event now, we'll probably add some more merchandise to the site.
I'm wearing my merch.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
So we'll get ball caps. We're thinking of ball caps and pullover hoodies. So you might see that on the website as well. So
okay. Anything else you want to get out to these people listening?
Just like I said, it's a great event. It's historically, if you talk to anybody that's attended one of these boxing events.
Plenty of parking.
Yeah, for the Battle of Badges. It's a great time. Come on out. It's for a good cause. Take care of those that support you. Definitely come on out and have a blast.
And here's the thing. These are charities that you may need at some point. If you're still an active member, you never know. You know what this job is like, man.
And we can't say enough of Police Memorial Foundation, Ignite the Spirit, Go Badge Society, Widows and Children's Fund, and all the work that the CFD Ministry does for our families, especially not only in the line of duty, but all our occupational illnesses and mental health stuff. So, let's take care of them as they take care of us. So
okay. Well, sounds good. Well, Al, thank you so much for coming out.
Hey, thanks for having us, man.
I cannot. Like I said, I've been practicing. I think Lick by the Dragon's coming back. He has been taking so many rights, he's begging for a left.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm telling you, I'm ready, Corey.
I was going to say, I got to start doing some studying.
Al, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for everything you guys done for us as well. Chicago's Bravest has done tremendous help with the charity. And I know you're still helping us out the night of the event as well. So
it's our pleasure,
man. We can't thank you enough.
Our pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming in, Al. Appreciate it.
Maybe we could do this again.
Oh, fuck yeah. Thank you, buddy.
You're locked in, buddy.
All right, man.
You're part of the family now, Al.
Wonderful. Thanks again.
That was Chicago's Bravest Stories. We'll see you at the boxing.
The opinions and views are that of Chicago's Bravest Stories and their guests. They do not necessarily reflect the views of any municipal governments, fire protection districts, fire departments, EMS, or law enforcement organizations.